And we get a rare treat in the studio today. We have musical guests from time to time, but they're generally a person or two with a guitar or two. Today we go bigger and bolder and invite the Oregon Wind Quintet into the room, which is not a big room and now has five people and various wind instruments in it. So we're taking advantage of the quintet's presence in Southern Oregon in a residency program for the Brit Festivals in Jacksonville. They won't all be heard on microphone, but we have with us Molly Barth on flute and piccolo, Melissa Pena on oboe, and it looks like English horn as well. All right, we have Kevin Morton on clarinet, Steve Vaki on bassoon, and Lydia Van Driel, who is on horn and is close enough to a speaking microphone to be able to be heard. Pleasure to have all of you here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
So how do you manage to be on tour so much when you're all faculty at the University of Oregon?
Well, we are very flexible with our schedules. We are very attentive to our students, and we reschedule lessons. I was teaching on Sunday before coming here. So we do what we can to get all of our work done at the university and then also be able to do these outreach tours and traveling throughout Oregon.
And so what do you do when you visit schools? Other than play the instruments, what sorts of interpretation do you do to let kids know more about what you do?
Well, we do a lot of question and answer sessions, and they ask a lot of really interesting questions. So it's fun to see what they're thinking and what they're observing about our group and how we function as a chamber ensemble. A lot of times these kids are in band, and so they're used to playing with a conductor, and it's the first time for them to be exposed to an ensemble that doesn't have a conductor. And so we talk a lot about how we communicate non-verbally in our music making.
I wondered about that because as you came into the room, this is an unusual arrangement for us because I have people on my left and my right. Usually they're all off on my left side, but this way you could actually see each other, which is apparently rather required in a wind quintet.
Yeah, we need to see each other. We listen to each other a lot, not only the music that we're playing, but also the way we breathe, and we use visual cues. The way we move our bodies, the way we move our instruments is a way of communicating.
Why don't we get right to it then? I understand that you have Eugene Botza's Scherzo available.
This is a piece by a French composer, and it highlights the very windy and fluid quality of the woodwind instruments of this group. I'm the horn player, so I'm a brass instrument, and my entire part is muted, so you're not going to hear me a whole lot, but you're going to hear the woodwinds doing lots of crazy stuff.
Thank you.
The Oregon Wind Quintet on the Jefferson Exchange playing a scherzo by Eugene Boza. So I apologize if I bumped anybody in trying to get the video that we can put up on Facebook later. I was having to pass behind Molly Barth as she played those runs on the flute and piccolo. And it's an amazing ensemble. How long have you guys actually worked together? I know there have been some members in and out of the group, but how long has there been an Oregon Wind Quintet?
I think the Wind Quintet itself has been in existence for 40, 50 years, at least since the early 70s. None of us were in the quintet at that time. Dr. Vaki, our bassoon professor, has been in it for, I want to say, 15 years. And I've been in it since 2006, so for the past 11 years. Molly Barth has been at the University of Oregon since 2008. So I guess I can't do the math that well, but anyway, for a little while. This is Melissa Pena's fifth year, and Kevin Morton is actually a wonderful guest artist with us, and he has been in the Wind Quintet for 2 days.
Really? Yes. Are you like the sub drummer for Ringo or something?
I'm the ringer, yes.
All right. Well, it's good to have you all here, and I apologize we couldn't get microphones to everybody because we're limited in microphones, but you can hear the music just fine, which is the point. We will come back and talk more with the folks from the Oregon Wind Quintet and hear more of the music when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. On the Jefferson Exchange, on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. It's a special musical treat day here on the Jefferson Exchange because we get to have the Oregon Wind Quintet in the studio with us, and it is five people and me, which is kind of close in here, especially when you bring in bassoons and large instruments like that. But a lot of fun. The Oregon Wind Quintet doing a residency for the Brit Festivals at the moment. Second year in a row, isn't it?
Time as well.
Okay, that's Lydia Van Driel, who is also the horn player in the group. We have with us as well Steve Vaki on bassoon, Kevin Morton on clarinet, Melissa Pena on oboe, Molly Barth on flute and piccolo. And we'll be hearing more from them as the hour goes on. So a second year at the residency, and you talked about going out to schools, Lydia, and I wonder if some of the kids that you're running into at schools and even some of the non-school programs have not been exposed to music much.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, a lot of kids come from different backgrounds and environments, and everybody's exposed to music of various kinds. And it's fun for us to bring them some of the traditional music from our Western classical, there's a word for it?
Canon?
Genre. There we go. And fortunately for us, within that genre, we have music from all over the world. We have a lot of wonderful Latin American music, a lot of music from France was a real proponent of France, not the country, but all the composers there wrote a lot of great music for us. Of course, there's a lot of great Germanic music from all over the world, really, and we try to mix it up and do as much as we can.
I love the quote that I saw somewhere in your works from Kids Unlimited in Medford from last year's tour, to the effect that hearing you made me have an imagination. That must be right on target with the kind
of
thing.
Those kids were so wonderful. We love seeing them.
And so it must be a bit of a love fest when you come out to the schools then.
Mm-hmm, yeah. We really enjoy engaging with them. And, you know, they love seeing the instruments, you know, and hearing what the sound of an instrument played live rather than something on the radio or something. I mean, I know we're on the radio now, but something coming from an electronic medium. It's different when it's an instrument made of wood or metal, and the quality of sound that comes out of it is very stirring on a visceral level.
It is interesting. I can still remember the first time I saw violins played in person. It's like, wow, the sound's really coming out of them.
Yeah.
And not looking at the round thing with the black paper over it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. All right. You want to just move on to the piece by, was it Astor?
Yes, Astor Piazzolla. He was an Argentine composer famous for his tangos. And this is called Milonga Sin Palabras.
Thank you.
The Oregon Wind Quintet on the Jefferson Exchange playing Milonga Sin Palabras by Astor Piazzolla. Wow. You know, there are easy jokes to make about wind players and, you know, music that leaves you breathless, stuff like that. The fact is, I'm as long as you guys have been at this, and you obviously know how to breathe through your instruments because you play them very, very well. Thank you for coming. But I do see some red faces along the way. So this is still something that takes a lot of practice.
It takes a lot of practice and a lot of effort, and some things are more painful to play than others. That one, you know, at moments it's like you're really blowing for a long time without a chance to breathe, and it challenges your capacity, your physical capacity, much the way athletes are challenged.
But what a feeling, and not just on an emotional level. I mean, because the battery ran dead in my video camera, I just had to sit here, which is fine because it was fun to feel the table vibrate, fun to feel the occasional pairings of the instruments. You know, sometimes bassoon and horn are together. Sometimes it's horn, bassoon, and clarinet. Sometimes we get the oboe and the flute pairing. So it was definitely better than stereo.
Yeah. One of the exciting things about a wind quintet is that we all have such different instruments, and the challenge is really how do we combine and make our sounds, you know, interesting and unique, expressive. There's so much potential in this ensemble, and I think that's one of the things that really drives us to pursue it and do it well.
So how did the Brit residency come about? I understand some of you actually do play in the Brit Orchestra in the summertime, so it's going to be late July and into August this year.
Yeah, I'll be playing there this summer. A few of us have played there on various occasions, and Kay, who is our wonderful host, set up the residency program last year, and I think Molly was talking to you, perhaps? I can't remember exactly who our first contact was, but Kay invited us to come down, and we had a spectacular time visiting all the schools and performing, and just we love the Brit Festival. We're really grateful that they sponsor us to do this outreach to all the students.
And so, I'm sorry, I know this is the second year in a row. Have there been more than 2 years of Oregon Wind Quintet in residency?
No, this is our second year here with the Brit Festival. I also was fortunate to come with the Oregon Brass Quintet last October as a brass player.
Brass Quintet, Wind Quintet, you're just different groups. See, give us a sense of what you're finding when you go out to schools, because music programs, perhaps even before the Great Recession, seem to be among the first things that are cut when money gets tight. Took a big whacking in the Great Recession, and I wonder if you're seeing effects of that in the schools that you visit as you take the residency program around, and you do other school tours as well, apart from the Brit residency.
Yeah, certainly it's challenging, and you know, hats off to all the teachers that are out there in the public schools doing so much great work with the students. A lot of them have to go to a number of different schools during their regular workday, and I think the amount of time and dedication and coordination it takes for them just to get from point A to point B and to really be there and be present and serve all the needs of the students is more and more challenging with less and less resources. So, you know, we see those challenges, but we also see a lot of really inquisitive, bright, curious, and wonderful kids that we love to interact with, and we just hope that we can do everything we can to keep arts funding in the school system happening.
As faculty at the University of Oregon, you deal with some truly gifted people, and I wonder if any have come from schools where the music programs were small or non-existent.
Oh, certainly, yeah. And we try to, when we're listening to auditions and evaluating their applications, we definitely take into account what their experience and their background has been, and we try to admit students that we think that have potential, regardless of what their access to resources and education has been.
Let me reintroduce you to the people here, because Lydia Vandriel is doing all the talking because she's the only one who has a microphone directly in front of her. But we also have Steve Vaki on bassoon to her right, Kevin Morton on clarinet to her left. Between me and Steve is Melissa Pena, who plays the oboe, and between me and Kevin is Molly Barth, who plays flute and piccolo. So good to have you all here again as the Oregon Wind Quintet, and thank you to Lydia for taking on the speaking duties today. Is there an age, Lydia, by which a child should pick up an instrument? If this is something they want to do for a lifetime, I mean, when should they have the instrument in their hands?
That's a great question. I'm not a parent, but I was a kid once, and I remember asking my parents for piano lessons when I was 5, and I really think it's, you know, I think someone can take up music at any age. It's great when if kids express an interest at a young age to do whatever you can to help them Piano lessons are a great way to start. Wind instruments are a little more physically cumbersome, so kids usually start playing wind instruments at around age 10 to 12, give or take. Interestingly enough, Kevin and I teach at an adult music camp in Walla Walla, Washington in the summer, and our students there sometimes are beginners, or sometimes there are students who have started their instrument and then come back to it after retirement. So they're all, you know, engaging in the learning process, you know, in their ripe old 70s, 80s, and 90s even.
So you have, I understand you're going to be at Ashland High School very soon after you leave here, and you did Creative Renaissance Academy yesterday,
mm-hmm.
master classes at South and North Medford High School.
That's correct.
What goes on in a master class?
The master classes, well, it depends on how many students are there, but we had a wonderful format yesterday with Steve Kessler at, was that North Medford High School? There was a group of students who were in a wind quintet preparing for their solo and ensemble competition, and we sat next to them and we all played together. We played some of our pieces for them. They played their piece for us, and then we gave them lots of feedback and demonstrated some things, and it was a really wonderful and exciting exchange and an opportunity for them to sit in with a professional ensemble and feel what that was like.
How do you get them to not be nervous?
We tell them that we were kids once too, and you know, we all come from that place.
I understand that you have another piece that we had talked about you playing, which is a minute long. We have more than that. I mean, if you have that 3-minute piece, or is it?
Should we do that?
Yeah. Okay.
So you're moving to Cambini?
Shorter.
Okay.
But
so do you want us to do both or just one?
Why don't you do the longer of the two, and,
okay.
and we'll see how we're doing with
well,
time
then,
after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a piece by Giuseppe Cambini, and Giuseppe is Italian for Joe. Joe Cambini. And he was a contemporary of Beethoven, a lesser known composer, obviously, than Beethoven, but a very similar style. And this piece is called Wind Quintet No. 3 in F. And it's probably going to sound like more like traditionally classical wind quintet music.
Okay, the Oregon Wind Quintet here on the Jefferson Exchange.
And I'm having a little bit of a setup issue here.
Yeah, so we did not have music stands available, so there's all sorts of things cobbled together on the table.
Need a prop. I think I'm okay.
Thank you. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio for just a second. Didn't realize how long the last piece of the Oregon Wind Quintet was going to go. That took us right into and through the break. And I just wanted to have a chance to come back and say thank you to all the folks. Lydia Vandriel has been doing the speaking for the group. It is Lydia Vandriel, Steve Vaki, Kevin Morton, Melissa Pena, Molly Barr. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. And how much longer will you be in Southern Oregon for the Brit residency?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. Very good to have you in the studio.
Thank you for having us.
So uncomplaining. No music stands, and yet you still managed to tough it out. Good job all around. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.